Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you see, today you've understood why the Lord has to chase people who are mourning out of the house before he raises a little girl. I was trying to stop the rain, but people are worried about their hair, about their suits, and whatsoever. I told you, get away. Let me handle this. Because the truth is, there's nothing you can do when people are pulling in the opposite direction. There's actually nothing you can do. Amen? When somebody is worried about their clothes, about, so I first release you to go and settle down. So now here we are. I was about to close the fellowship, by the way. Amen? Glory to God. And you go home and glory to God. Now today, actually, I'm going to be very brief. The rain has even helped me. I want to remind you, and this is a reminder to everybody, that you are called to progress. Amen? You're called to what? To progress. That means you are supposed to fear any form of stagnation or any form of retrogression and not to normalize it. You see, when something happens and you notice that your upward trajectory has stopped, you really have to start checking and seeing what was the cause of it. Because at no one stage in your life, in every area of your life, are you supposed to stop progressing. Amen? The scripture talks about faith to faith, glory to glory, moving upwards in everything. Now, the cause of so many things is people stagnate and perhaps they're under attack, and then they normalize that position where they find themselves. And being under attack and coming down a bit and getting away from your high horse, so to speak, is not where the problem is. Because I think most people at some stage encounter that. But then analyzing yourself and seeing that the truth is I'm not where I used to be. Now, there are people, and all of us have that ability, to deceive yourself and say, no, things are okay and what, and you know they are not. And they start, and they get worse when you're busy justifying yourself and pretending like everything is okay. Yet, deep down, you know that it is not okay. I used to be going like this. I used to be moving in this direction. Now, I seem to be moving in the opposite direction, or at least have stagnated. Now, where is the source of it? Now, when it happens and you don't normalize it, you'll pull out of it very fast and you'll have learned a lesson. That's the key thing. The lesson, why did it happen? Why did I stop? But it's very easy for anybody in any place to actually believe and adjust yourself to the new reality. Okay? You remember what they were telling us during COVID, the new normal. This is the new normal. And they are trying to, and those are words straight from hell, by the way. Try to make you think that being locked at home and you can't do what is normal. And it's abnormal. It has never been normal. But they are trying to introduce something to you. But that's also, but I'm talking about your individual life. Where you were once like this and you found it. And then you accept that's the new normal. And you go by that. And man, the devil just sits back and has a nice time. Because he would want that. He would want for you to think that that's how things are supposed to be. And he would even give you a very short time in that place before he comes and hammers you further and you go further down. And then you normalize that as well. And then you keep on, you know. And then you forget the glory, that number one, that you were called to. But even in some cases that you have experienced and that you know about. And then you make it seem like that was like a fleeting moment. It wasn't supposed to last. It was a good time, but now this is the new normal. And that is the source of so many of the issues that we as children of God face. When we do not, on a daily basis, subject yourself to questioning, am I improving? What part of my life has stagnated? And what part is still growing? Amen? Am I growing in my character? Am I growing in my finances? Am I growing in my relationship with God? Is God having a bigger influence in my life now than he did yesterday? Because see, we are called to that. And our success is how much influence God has in our lives. Okay? At the beginning, you are born again and what? But you know, he has very little influence. You are in control. But then, as you continue submitting towards him, he continues having more and more influence in your life. So now, you ask yourself, have all of those things changed in this direction? Or have I stagnated? But stagnation is just brief. Or have I retrogressed? And then you settle like that. And even start enjoying that new normal. Go to 1 Kings chapter 14. Start from verse 25. It happened that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and he took away everything. He also took away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. Go ahead. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them and brought them back into the guard room. The next verse. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Now, Rehoboam was actually the son of Solomon. The son of Solomon. So he grew up in Jerusalem at a time when the Bible says silver was accounted as nothing. Everything was gold, even shields, everything was gold in the days of Solomon. He says that silver was like stones. Nobody took silver seriously. And he was not even a grandson, he was the actual son of Solomon. Now he just rules 5 years, and Egypt, you know Egypt, comes and takes away all the treasures, all his treasures. And he says, okay, that's okay. Then he replaces it with what? With bronze. Not even silver, bronze. The son of Solomon, who grew up, you know, in all that opulence that his father had. And somehow he has settled now for, very easily, just like that, like Egypt comes, takes it away. Then you say, yeah. Yeah, but also bronze can make shields, right? And then not only does he do that, he even makes the bronze shield so precious that they only put them to the temple when he's coming to worship. When he finishes worshiping, they take them away. The son of Solomon. Praise the Lord. So now, there are people who are guarding the bronze. So when they say the king is coming to the temple, they bring the bronze. And the king worships when there is bronze. And then when he finishes worshiping, they take it away. And now you see how he has fallen from glory so fast. 5 years in the fifth year of his reign. 5 years. Okay? And now I'm telling you that what happens. Now you see that's why even his life is so summarized. Like that's actually that's all the Bible says about him. What he did was taking Judah away from the glory of Solomon, of everything gold, to bronze. And then the rest of his acts, you go and read history. You're not going to get it in the Bible. There was nothing of significance else that he did. Praise the Lord. Now you see, when you read this, you can say, but I know what this is like. I have been in places where you've been hit, but you're pretending you've not. And something has happened, and somehow it's easier for you to, you know, still talk big and what. But you're hurting. And don't want to encounter reality. And yet actually if you did, if you turned and say, where, at what point did I sleep? And then you get a hold of it. You can very easily restore yourself back there. And very fast restore yourself and even go past it. Praise the Lord. But it is much easier. I think we as people find it easier to move on as if everything is okay and normalize that place. And you know it is not normal. So the children went from this school to the other one, and but they're all schools. Amen? And like you put up a serious argument for it. So what's so special about international schools, Cambridge, what? They're all schools. After all, didn't we go through these schools and we here? Amen? Hey, we went to these preschools there. And we are here, intelligent people. So what's wrong with that? But you know you've fallen. Your children were once there, now they are here. And deep down, you know there's something wrong, but you'd rather not encounter it. And I'm not saying there's anything special about international school. My point is that if you had chosen it at some stage and now you find yourself in UPE, you have to encounter. You have to come to the reality and say something went wrong. Now what went wrong? And now the minute you start questioning, you'll get answers. Praise the Lord. You always get answers. The minute you put yourself in a place and say, Lord, where did I sleep? How come, like, this is not where I'm supposed to be. And I've tested something better. I'm supposed to have gone higher, not lower. Then you start getting answers. But now the Lord is interesting in that he will not give you the answers unless you ask for them. He will sit back and let you fool yourself. That's why a car is what takes you from point A to point what? Point B. So I don't need this luxurious car. All I need is a what? Is a car. And he's looking at you. And he says, okay, you fool yourself. Yet you could ask him, Lord, where did I go wrong? I'm not supposed to be going. You are not supposed to be going backwards at any stage of your life. Never. That is not what God has called us to. So now, when the reality or here on this world dictates that some, like you've fallen from a place, take time and ask the Lord, why? What did I do wrong? You can even ask by just inquiring inside your spirit. But you see, now we have here Rehoboam, who he says, you take the gold, I shall make silver in its place. Maya, not silver, bronze. And then life continues. And he's okay. But that is just the beginning of the downfall of Judah. And after that, the downslide continues like that, because of one person who decided, yeah, it's fine, you know, we can praise the Lord. And now I'll tell you this, that there is nothing that is going to, now we here, I've told you before that the matter of wealth transfer is so important in this end time, very, very, very important in this end time, that you have to understand where the wealth, what the wealth is and what wealth means to God. Amen? You have to wash your mind away from the thinking that all you need is what you need to survive. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, it's a stronghold in so many people's mind. You know, because it was a stronghold in mine as well. Where you say, why do I need all these buildings? And the people who have them have influence, and they are pointing the country in another direction. And it is so important as far as the Lord is concerned. You see, when Israel was coming out of Egypt, at every stage, at first, all those plagues, the 10 plagues, they were stages. The first three plagues, Moses does it, Pharaoh's magicians do it. Then afterwards, Pharaoh's magicians could not do it. Then afterwards, it was only happening to Egypt. It wasn't happening in Goshen, where the children of Israel were. Then, that's the stage, when there was a clear separation, and it's not happening here, it's happening the other side. That's when Pharaoh said, okay, called Moses and said, okay, I'm letting you go, but who are going? Then Pharaoh says, okay, only the men go. You leave your children and your wives here. Only the men go. Then Moses said, no, that's not the deal. All of us have to go. Then later on, he calls and says, okay, you go, but only go 3 days. Don't go very far. Stop near. Now, everything the devil does there is like, you know the devil, eh? So everything that Pharaoh does there is the devil. And everything Moses does is God. You understand? If you want to know how it all happens. So, he says, but don't go very far. Okay? Then Moses says, no, we are going to go 3 days journey and sacrifice. Then finally, after, because Pharaoh used to worship the sun god, the god of the sun. And that's a very strong worship system up to today, in the contemporary world. The Romans, for instance, used to worship the sun god. That's why they made Sunday a holiday. Okay? And that's where the Seventh-day Adventists, they locked there, their brains locked there, bam. And then they tell it to you as if you don't know it is true. That, do you know that people used to worship on Sabbath? And then they have locked. Their mind cannot go beyond that. Praise the Lord. Do you know during Amin's regime, Friday was a holiday? Friday and Sunday. And people would go to school on Saturday. Amen? So if Saturday, if Friday becomes the holiday, we pray on Friday. But you see, when you make something so like a day very important, like God set the Sabbath. Anyway. Then your brain locks there. Then they say the mark of the beast is those who pray on Sunday. When the real mark comes, they will take it. Because they will be praying on Saturday. And they think they are safe. You ask them how many of them were vaccinated. Amen? So anyway, I was saying, so when because Pharaoh worshipped the sun god, when there was darkness for 3 days, which was the second last plague, and for 3 days the sun couldn't come out, then Pharaoh realized that his god was powerless. Because they would do sacrifices, sun, come out, and does it 3 days. Then he called Moses and told him that, okay, you go, you and your wives and your children, only let your wealth stay behind. Leave your cattle, leave your herds, leave everything. Then Moses says, no, we shall not leave a single hoof of what belongs to us here. And then Pharaoh says, no deal. I'm allowing you to go, but not without your wealth. But without your wealth. And Moses says, no, I'm not taking that deal. Then he goes and God says, now, okay, the final one. Now I'm going to kill the firstborn, and now you release your wealth. If it wasn't for wealth, there would be no need for the firstborn. Because he had already allowed you go. But God killed the firstborn just for the wealth. And not only did they take just their wealth, he also told them, now, go and plunder those people. Go and ask them for whatever they have. They will give it to you. After they have lost their firstborn, they will give it to you. And then so he went and they plundered Egypt. Now when they went, when they were building a tabernacle in the desert, and God told Moses, ask the children of Israel to bring articles of silver and gold and all that. Where do you think they got that gold from when they were slaves? From plundering the Egyptians. So they brought, the Bible says they brought until the artisans told Moses, tell the people to stop, we have more than enough. So now, it was just for the wealth that the firstborn was killed. Otherwise, everything else had been agreed. Praise the Lord. Now, when you know that wealth and power, you remember the other day I told you, he gives you power to get what? Power to get wealth. There's a certain amount of wealth you cannot get without power. Praise the Lord. Power, I mean political power. Some of you might want you to think something else. Maybe electricity. Slow, but power, because you need power to get wealth. Praise the Lord. Now, even when he's talking about the wealth, because if you don't have power, they will just come and take your wealth. Now, what he was talking about, go to 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 14. 1 Kings 10, 14. The weight of gold that came yearly to was six. Okay, go start from verse 13, I think. Now, King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, beside what Solomon had given her, according to royal generosity. So she turned. He also gave her a baby, you know. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servant. That one is not in the Bible, but it's in history. So, anyway, he said all she wanted. The weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. Now, I want you to see this 666 talents of gold. 666, you know, 6 is the number of a man. And 6 and 3 is the number of perfection, you know. Full. There are 3 that bear witness. So when these 3 come together, it means that's the peak of humanity. That's the peak that humanity can get. That's why even the Antichrist is 666, the peak of humanity without divinity. Just humanity. Now you see the weight that comes to Solomon's 666 talents of gold. Okay, let's read through it very fast. Besides that, from traveling merchants, from the income of traders, from all the kings of Arabia, and from the governors of the country. Now, when this is dominion. You see, if you want to study dominion, you come and read this portion of scripture. Where he sits in Jerusalem and people are bringing to him gold from all over. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 minas of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. In other words, in his country home. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. Now, I want you to see this. There's something I want to see here. King Solomon, after he had built the temple in all this magnificence and put all the gold, the one that he had and the one that was left by David, his father. When the temple was well built, that is when the wealth really came into Israel. That's what caused all of this. When the temple was out there in pure gold. Now, there are some people who think that there's going to be wealth in this country without it first coming in the church. False. It has to come in the church first. Amen? Even power has to come to the church, what? Everything has to come there. Even judgment has to come to the house of God, what? Everything starts with the house of God. When the house of God is sorted, then the rest of everything around it gets sorted. Now, when the house of God is debased, everything around it gets debased as well with it. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory. Now, after he had done the house of God amidst all this magnificence, now he went and built his own house. Also very important. Also very important. Amen? Yeah. Because you see, moreover, the king made great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. Okay. The throne had 6 steps. The top of the throne was round at the back. There were armrests at either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood besides the armrests. Go ahead. 12 lions stood there on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. Go ahead. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. No one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. Go ahead. For the king had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. I don't know why he wanted monkeys. And the apes. Praise the Lord. Maybe as pets. So the king Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and what? Now just notice this, both riches and wisdom. Go ahead. Then he says, now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Now, the money alone does not make you all that. By the way, you are told by who comes to you, not by where you go. Okay? The people who come to you from all over. That's, if you want to know how powerful you are, you look at the people who come to you rather than where you go. If you say, I went here and went here and went here, yeah, anybody can go. But who has come from there now? This is real dominion. Because you see, the church has been called to dominion, even in social dominion, where people come and seek your opinion in the church. Is that the case now? Hardly. But it's going to be very soon. Where, like Solomon, in terms of money, it's a church. In terms of wisdom, people come seeking your wisdom. Even those who already have their money, like the Queen of Sheba, come looking for wisdom. Tell her, the Bible says she came with very difficult questions. Glory to God. Very difficult what? And he said Solomon answered them very easily. And she was mesmerized. So now everyone is coming from all over the world, coming to seek your wisdom. Now that's how the, you know, we are called to cause a cultural revolution. And when the church falls, they think that they are not supposed to change the culture. We are supposed to change the culture. And the people of the world are the ones who are pushing to change the culture. Because it is very important how the culture is. Very important that you change culture. So the people of the world push their homosexuality, they push their transgenderism. For them, they know how important it is to change, for the cultures of the day to be dictated by their kingdom. Now, for us, we think we are going to be playing church. But we have to get to a place where we are supposed to change the culture of the day. Praise the Lord. There was a time when I used to think that, because when people are going to start a meeting, they say, let us have a word of prayer. And of course, it's just some perfunctory prayer without any real meaning. But you see, it's important because it's an acknowledgement of God. What is worse is when there is no prayer. Then you know you've lost what? The culture of the day. And I remember when those Americans would be saying that they've taken away the Ten Commandments from schools. I said, the Ten Commandments are obsolete. Now we have one commandment, two commandments, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. But then I realized that the Ten Commandments being there is powerful because it shows it's a demonstration of something. Now the people of darkness came and said, we are taking away the Ten Commandments. And they took them away. And they are changing the culture slowly. Even if things look religious, it is just like the culture is there. People have to pray before they start a meeting. There is a signpost up there saying something from the Bible. Whether or not the person believes it, that just shows that something, the church is influencing the culture. Now, not everybody is going to be born again. Amen? But if now you come into a place where you're starting cabinet meetings and somebody has to open with a word of prayer, and then they say, let us humble ourselves as if every time they are proud. It might sound useless, but it's not. Because it is a statement of something. Amen? Now, you find how many meetings are started with prayer right now. I remember there's some lady, I want to mention her name, who was heading one of those authorities. They said before every meeting she would demand that they pray. And people were complaining, you know, these columnists in newspapers. Very useless people. Very useless what? People, they espouse knowledge which does not take you anywhere at all. At all. And they think they are intelligent for not believing in God. And they think that we who believe in God are brainwashed. I remember I challenged one of them, come, let's go for an IQ test. And I will show you that even in brains, I will beat you. Yet I don't depend on brains. I depend on spirituality. But let's go to brains and see if you will beat me. Because the person who is talking, you know, is a fool. Amen? Yeah. So anyway, now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Go ahead. Each man brought his present. Articles. Can you imagine you're so wise, people are bringing presents to just hear your wisdom. Praise the Lord. Now, that shows that you've completely changed the culture. Because people with other gods from other kingdoms are coming to seek your wisdom and they are bringing presents to you. Silver, gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules, at a set rate year by year. Go ahead. And Solomon gathered chariots. Now, this is very important. Without the chariots and the army, they will come and take your wealth. You have to have power to protect your what? Wealth. So Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities with the king at Jerusalem. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores, which are in the lowland. And Solomon had horses imported from Egypt and wherever. The king's merchants brought them in that place at the current price. Now, I want to imagine, why is the Bible talking all this about Solomon? You see, this is so important because when the church gets over the poverty mentality and understands that this is supposed to be us right now, there is no other time when there is going to be another church that is going to come and fulfill this. It is us. If it's not us, it is nobody. Amen? Because we are the last generation. So it can't fall on any other generation, not our children. No. Praise the Lord. So now, when you understand that all this wealth thing is very, very important to God, that the wealth is in the church, because without the wealth, there is no influence. And where you have wealth, you influence culture. Amen? I was seeing the other day, okay, I'm sure you've seen this. Premier League clubs, captains putting on the rainbow armband for Visiak. Now, when you have wealth, you tell them to put on an armband saying Jesus is Lord. They will do it because you have the money and they need it. That's how this world, the world operates on the basis of money. You can make people do anything you want. Praise the Lord. That's why God wants to put the wealth in our hands. Praise the Lord. Where? And so that we can use the wealth to influence people. Godward. Because as long as it's out there, they are going to influence people. I remember when, before 2016, there were some young men who were moving all over and driving very expensive cars and, you know, convertibles and all that. And their work was just to spread homosexuality. So they would just wait for young boys to come and say, "Nemuchikola mutia." Then they say, "Come, we are going to show you." Just by using words. And they actually, like, really, really recruited so many people because of words. But then, and that man was coming from Obama's America. Obama was number one promoter of what? Homosexuality. Then when Trump took over, those boys who were driving convertibles now are very broke. And I see them still. Now they are hustling. You know hustle. Praise the Lord. Because people would follow the money. You've heard that saying, follow the money. They will follow the money. Now they will follow the money to Christ, to the kingdom of God. Because that's where the money will be. Praise the Lord. Now, when I say this, some of you are thinking we are talking about 2036. You are going to be shocked. You are going to be shocked. But I hope you are not shocked. Because this is coming soon to a cinema near you. Praise the Lord. Coming soon to a cinema near you. Now, this part of the wealth of the horsemen and all the people who are stationed everywhere around the kingdom, chariot stationed there, you dare attack us and you see. Then people are just bringing money and coming to get wisdom. Praise the Lord. We are going there. Amen? We are going where? Hey, we have just started, people even already say, man, eh? Praise the Lord. You think it is far away. It is not. It is what? Not. There are things which, because the glory is returning to the church. And every time that the glory returns to the church, the glory returns to the nation. And it can't happen in the reverse order. You go to Ezekiel, let me end with this. Go to Ezekiel chapter 9, start from verse 3. It says, "Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's ink horn at his side." Go ahead. "And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." Now, okay, this is a long story and might be, but it starts with the temple. God shows Ezekiel what is going on in the temple. And people are worshipping idols in the temple. And they are inside the temple, but they're actually sacrificing to other gods in the Holy of Holies. So God tells him, now prophesy, and say this is what is going to happen. So he prophesies. And he's prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem as a nation. But it goes in this order. First of all, he says, the glory of God moves away from inside the temple where it was, to a cherub, and then moves here to the door of the temple, the threshold of the temple. Then he says he sees it there. Then from there, it moves from there and goes to a hill overlooking the city. And he's seeing the glory. Okay, he says, first of all, put a sign on those who are seeing what is going on and are not happy about it. Praise the Lord. You see, there are people who know, as I told you, normalize things. And we're experts at it. So you drive in this city of ours and go through industry, and you think it's normal for a country to have roads like that. And you're trying to normalize it in your head. That's like it's a serious country in the 21st century, which has roads like that. And then you stand there and say, what? Steady progress. Like, it's very clear we are retrogressing. Like, you cannot hide it. Then you look at the old cities, the city is like an unfinished building site. There is nothing that is pleasant, nothing. Now, if you have money and you want to chew it, you have to go out of the country. If you want some glamour, something glamorous, really glamorous, not deceiving yourselves. Because there are people who deceive themselves. And then they go and put up property prices. That here, Kororo. Wow, properties, how much? Kororo is Islam. Like, what are you saying? If you want to know a place has become Islam, you go and find these trucks which are going through with the sound advertising concerts. There was a time those trucks would not be in Kororo. Doing what? Their target audience was it there. But now you drive through Kororo and you find a G-truck. What's that? Then you know, man, we have fallen. You know we have fallen and we are pretending, but we fail. That's the truth. Now we just have to cry to God to restore us. Can you imagine a truck? Okay, some of you are a bit young. But those of you who are anything, can you imagine those days Kororo, a truck going through Kororo shouting like that? Announcing gravity. Who is that? To the people of Kororo, who is he? But now they are there. And there is no neighbor which is safe from them. Then they, whoa. Today I was seated there, you know, meditating. Then I hear somebody in the neighborhood and put on very loud. Then I realize it's time for me to leave. Because now I'm being infringed. It doesn't matter even if it was BBC, whatever it was. But I was, but not when I'm meditating on the scripture. Okay. By the way, people, let me tell you, you pray to God for Uganda. Because we have normalized things which are not normal. And they are not normal and we're okay. There's a time I forgot and I passed through industry area. I was going to Bugorobi. My goodness me. Then the other day, I was coming from that side and it rained. Then I saw a car almost vanishing inside. there in industry area, like the water was like this high, like this. So some guy came, I even saw him first thinking with a small car. Then he first thought, then attacked. I say Kampala 21st century. Then I was seeing the water taking like a car like this, but somehow he passed through. But you see, when a city is covered, then you will find some people who are driving serious cars and they're in a country like that. Okay, there's nothing wrong with driving a serious car. But the thing is, anyway, let me preach the word of God. Well, okay. So he says, and go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations which are within it. Now somebody has to be somewhere and they know that this is not normal. We are like, it's not normal for us to live like this. Roads are supposed to be good in the city. Anyway, let's leave the kidding part. Go to chapter 10, start from verse 4. Chapter 10, start from verse 4. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple. And the house was filled with the cloud. And the court was full of brightness of the Lord's glory. The threshold. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard even in the outer court, like the voice of Almighty God when he speaks. Then it happened, when he commanded the men clothed in linen, saying, take fire from among the wheels, from among the cherubim. And he went in and stood beside the wheels. Verse 7. And the cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim, and took some of it and put it on the hands of the man who clothed with linen, who took it up and went out. Now this, the cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under their wings. Go ahead. Anyway, I don't want us to go through all this, but the point is this. It starts, the glory of God is inside the temple. Then people are doing abominations. Then it goes to the threshold of the temple. And that takes a while. Then God tells Ezekiel, prophesy. Then it goes from the threshold of the temple and then it goes to a mountain overlooking Jerusalem. And then it goes on and on. Then afterwards it lifts completely and it goes. According to the what Ezekiel says, it lifts completely and goes. And guess what comes after that? Nebuchadnezzar comes and takes over. Now, he cannot take over when the glory of God is still in the temple or it's still overlooking the city. But it's a progression. It starts here, grows, moves away from here, then goes here, then goes here, goes there. Now, even the church, by the way, for us to get to where we have had kind of reached, the glory started shifting bit by bit. And then we normalized things which were not supposed to be seen as normal. Because I'll tell you this, when we got born again, it was churches used to be in Bewempe and that was okay. Then they started developing. Then they go to a point where there was no more Bewempe, churches were. Then they stagnated. Totally stagnated. And all the progress ended. Now, you as a person, as I end, fear the time when you get to a stagnation point. As soon as you notice it, be honest and go and ask God what has happened. I was moving fast. Things seem to be moving in a certain direction. Why have they stopped? In other words, be addicted to progress. Praise the Lord. And only you can say if you are progressing or not. Nobody else can, because outwardly you look the same. Now, what Ezekiel was seeing in the spirit, nobody else was seeing outwardly. But for him, you're seeing how the glory of God is moving, then it vanishes. Then all they see is, phew, Nebuchadnezzar has come with his army. But Nebuchadnezzar cannot come unless, there are certain attacks which cannot come to you unless you lead. And you know it. And you know that the minute something happens and, you know, you start having certain attacks, you know that you fail from somewhere. Now I'm telling you, it's a full-time job, making sure that you don't fall from places. You just go higher and higher and higher. And thereby, you do what? You experience the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Just pray in tongues, everybody. Okay, now I'm going to pray that every stronghold of despising wealth, not like fearing wealth and all that. Okay, I could call it stronghold of poverty, but that's why it is broken here today. And you see yourself the way God sees you. Amen? In regard to wealth. And you consider wealth as important as God considers it for this end time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. First, wait. This survival mentality. Survival. Pastor, I have this, I have that. And you are not thinking wealth, like we're wealth. That is the place where the devil wants to keep you. Where you're surviving. I have enough for this, I have this. Like, you are not, if that was, that's like you're a believer in 1950s, not an end-time believer. An end-time believer, you have to know that you're called to have wealth. It is a calling. It's not a choice. Amen? There was a time in the church when everybody was called to be an evangelist. Everyone was an evangelist. That was about the time I got born again. All of us had to go to the street and preach the gospel. So we did street evangelism because that was the time, that was the period. And now, of course, some people can still do it. But the point is, that time everybody had to go out because the church was spreading like that, evangelically, in terms of converting people. But now things have kind of changed. Now, in the time we are in, we are supposed to be growing in influence. Praise the Lord. Growing in what? Influence. Imagine you find Thomas on the street, on Room Street, preaching the gospel. There's nothing wrong, but you can do something better than that. People will come to you when you have money. And they will convert themselves. I read for you that scripture which says that what? Many people became Jews for the fear of the Jews. You remember it? Hey. This end time people are going to convert because of power and influence. So now instead of going, and no, I'm not saying you shouldn't go and, because we also need that, we need, but of course some of you will not do it. So we've got people who will do it. But my point is, there is a time for everything. Now is a time for wealth. Praise the Lord. Now is the time for what? What is stopping you from having that wealth? It's all in your mind. The minute you overcome that barrier in your mind of what you consider wealth and break free from wealth is having a nice part, having a piece of land there where I'm farming, growing some stuff, and I have my house and what? And that's wealth to you. Who are you going to influence like that? Everybody has it. So who is going to come to you because you have a farm? Amen? Who is going to influence? Who are you going to influence? We'll start by going here and telling Uganda League clubs, all of you put on what? Jesus is Lord. We start here in Uganda. First, change the culture. Prayer before any football match. With money, you can't do anything. That's why God wants to give it to us. Praise the Lord. You decide what you can do anything. Because they are broke. And by the way, they will be broke as we become what? Rich. So you do and you like you are a force for the kingdom with your money. So you sit and say, we are going for serving. All of you pray in tongues for 1 hour. Somebody, people are come to pitch to you for a business. They want you to sponsor their business. And you see this first prayer in tongues. If you don't want to pray in tongues, you go. You don't have my mind. You make people learn. You get people even baptized in the Holy Spirit, Chifuba. Because they want your mind. And by the way, that is how it is. Like, there is a time for everything. Praise the Lord. So now I've stopped. I've come back to say this. Break the barriers in your mind. Do not accept a situation of stagnation or retardation or retrogression, rather than retardation. Do not accept it. Just know that I'm supposed to be going forward. Progress, 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 progress. Somebody say progress. Say it again. Say it again. Keep on saying it.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabo Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.